thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, the Urban Sports Scene. We in the building. It's been a busy week. I had a good weekend, a very good weekend. I'm Wally with my homie, Ice Willie T. What's good, homie?
Not much. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm blessed. Very blessed, man. Over the weekend, went to my homegirl's pool party. I've done a couple pool parties. I feel pretty good about myself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Went to hit a pool party up in southern PG County. Her daughter is going to college, going to Temple University.
Okay.
Exactly. So she threw a pool party for the masses. Just like she's like my play sister. So it was cool. I got it in over the weekend. I'm not gonna lie. I got drunk, super drunk, like on multiple days.
Okay.
Was hanging out with one of hanging out with one of the brethren actually on a shoot. Was that Saturday? Yeah, Saturday.
Okay.
You know who he is. He used to be a resident of this area area right here. Our homie.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a good time though, man. He got it in,
huh?
Looney's, matter of fact.
Okay.
So he was at Looney's. Did I say his government on the law?
You did.
I did. I messed up. The dude. That's what I'm going to say. The dude was out. You had a good time. He had a good time because, matter of fact, he went and he did well at a particular establishment.
Okay.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I'm not without saying anything. He did well at a particular establishment. He came Looney's and, you know, he treated some folks.
That's what's up.
Yeah, man. Good dude, man. Good dude.
Treated you. Who else?
And two other chicks. One, my homegirl and her friend.
Okay.
So I met a new friend. And I was partying with, I'm black. And we all know this. You hear my voice. And, you know, I've stated it a number of times. I was partying with white folks. Okay. We was having a good time. I taught them how to Cupid shuffle. Still a Looney's. All the Looney's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so taught them how to Cupid shuffle. What else did I do? I'm trying to think. Trying to inform the masses of my, well, that's about it. How about yourself?
Same old same with me.
And I played, matter of fact, yesterday I played.
Life is good. I can't complain.
Good, good, man. I played, what's the name, some tennis too, Ray Gigi.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
It was tiring, man. I mean, old. My body can't, you know, it can't bounce back like it used to. Like, playing hours. We played about it for, we started about at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Played to like 10. No, yeah. Yeah, about 2 hours of tennis. A straight stone cold tennis, no breaks. So it was good though. Anyway, our phone lines are open. You can call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. I'm not sure if I told y'all, but y'all listen to the Urban Sports Thing. And we're a part of the BDSIR network. For other programming, visit www.bdsirnetwork.com. We got a lot of sports to talk about. Football season's here, so finally we can go in and dive into football. We don't have to stretch out a sports segment. We can talk about football and what's going on. But anyway, Will.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, the Nationals are in a losing streak right now at the moment. They're not even first place. The Mets are first place. What's wrong with the Nats?
Multitude of things.
Mm-hmm.
One, you know, guys who coming off the injuries haven't produced at the level that you thought they would. The pitching's been okay. They haven't gotten the run production that they needed to kind of provide backup to them. And then also Matt Williams, some of his decisions that he's making with the bullpen. Those three things right there are, you know, the three things that are highest in regards to what's going on with the Nationals at this point. But, you know, it's still a lot of baseball to be played. I don't think anyone should be nervous as of yet. You know, anytime that the Nationals have won their division, it's always been close around this time of year. And last year they were only up, I think, like 3 games at this time last year. Then in 2012, they were only up 2.5 games. So, you know, this team has shown the ability to fight through whenever there's been some adversity late in the season and capture the division. So I wouldn't give up just yet, and I wouldn't hit the panic button just yet for all of us National fans.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the Nationals fans should panic. But they should acknowledge that the Mets are going nowhere. Like what the Mets did by getting Cespedes. You already know that the Mets have a good pitching staff. And you add that into a point where now they got Cespedes, a bat in the order. So in that regard, the Nats to me can't look at the Mets as a team that's going to like tail off. They're going to be there for the long run. But again, I do agree with you, Will T. Nats fans shouldn't panic. They're going to get healthier. I think when Denard Span gets back, that's the guy who's going to set the table for this team. That'll improve the offense. Strasburg was pitching well before he got hurt. He'll come back. And they should be stabilized. I think once they get all their guns healthy, that's gonna bring in an added sense of confidence, and then they'll play better. Right now, they're like Mike Tyson when he got punched. You know, Mike Tyson the first time he got punched in the face and got knocked out. You know, they're the bully on the block. They got punched in the face. They're wearing right now. They're like they're real weary right now. But I expect this team to bounce back and get back up.
I totally agree with you. Me personally, even though it would have been hard to place another bat in the lineup, I think they should have gone for trying to get another bat to put into the lineup, mm-hmm. just because of you're having consistency problems. You aren't getting the production you thought from the catcher position. Ian Desmond hasn't playing at the levels that you thought that he would play at. And also, you know, you have the injuries with Worth, Span, and, you know, it's really affected this team's production. And also Zimmerman.
Oh, so you
had those three guys injured.
That's a guy who hasn't stepped up to me at all. I mean, I I'm a Ryan Zimmerman fan, but I know he's been hurt. But at the same time, I expected him to hit well. You know, they let go Adam LaRoche, and I expected him to hit like at least hit 300 or 280 and driving a boatload of runs. Now, granted, he has been hurt, but I expect a little bit more out of him.
Yeah, I think everyone expects a lot more out of Ryan Zimmerman. You know, this guy's longtime Nationals, one of the pillars of this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they got rid of Adam LaRoche, everyone believed that with him stepping into first base, you would get the level of production that you were used to getting from Adam LaRoche. Not necessarily the level of defense, but the level of production. And thus far in the season, he hasn't shown it consistently, which has really hurt this Nationals team.
So do you still think they'll win the NL East?
Hell yeah.
Okay, I'm talking about the confidence. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think they win the NL East. Just from the simple fact that the Mets, their top three pitchers, are very young.
Yes, true.
And they haven't gotten to they aren't used to willing and dealing at this level yet.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
Going this late into the season and also this high stakes of baseball. So I think that the Nats, they do have experience and they do have some depth on their side, but you know, only time will tell, and we'll see how this plays out for them.
And you never know, some of the pitchers for the Mets may be on a pitch count. They're very young. It's just like what happened to Strasburg. Harvey just came off of Tommy John, so I know they won't be careful with him anyway. So
absolutely,
there's some things they may need to do which may allow the Nationals to either, well, right now they're tied. To me, they're tied. They both got 50 losses. But giving the Nats the opportunity to pull away in the NL East. Say the Nats don't make the playoffs, right?
Okay.
Would you consider firing Matt Williams?
No. I don't think I would consider. One, this is his first stint as a manager, so he's relatively young. Two, this is only his second year as the manager. So, you know, he's going to make his mistakes. And although you do have a team that's very talented, you have to allow him to grow as a manager and grow with this team and learn from his experience. So, no, I wouldn't say that he should be fired. You know, if this was some type of colossal collapse where at the end of September they were up 10.5 games and they lost that lead and the Mets got slid into the playoffs, then I think you would have to take it into consideration. But at this point, no.
No, so I'm saying if they don't make the playoffs.
No, I still don't
think. Would you fire? Okay.
No.
All right, pose the same question on our Facebook page. My man Thomas Johnson said he will be if for no other reason that his contract runs out and they have an option, he would pick up his option. The team has been hurt by injuries and to be fair, certain overpaid players have barely been hitting their weight or underproducing on the mound. I totally agree. Injuries have played a part of it, and we did mention this before. You have players, I think you're probably talking about like Ryan Zimmerman, who hasn't stepped up to do his job. He also added that some of that is as much as Rizzo's fault. Do you believe that some of that is Rizzo's fault for this team's not playing to their ability?
No, I don't think it's Rizzo's fault. It has to do more with the players. Even though you have guys who are talented hitters 1 through 8. They just haven't been able to hit as a team 1 through 8 and put each other in the position to bring those runs in to generate runs. So, no, I think Rizzo's made some really good but tough decisions. You know, some people have questioned why not get rid of Desmond before the season went over, when he's going to be a free agent. You have his eventual successor down in the minor league. Some people may question those decisions. Some people may question the decisions to not – bring in another bat, but I think Rizzo thus far has made is push pretty much the right buttons.
All right, Thom Costantino, so they actually picked that option up in February already. Okay, if they don't make the postseason, he should lose his job, but he won't. Rizzo is married to him and won't fire him after 2 years, but this guy needs to figure out to manage a bullpen, which we'll refer to, or it might be a short trip in the postseason, even if they get there. Let's see. I'm gonna read a couple more. My girl Deborah said, "Please give Espinosa the opportunity to swing the bat in place of Desmond."
I think at this point you have to consider sitting Desmond down just because he struggled this far, and Espinosa has been a better option for you. I know that Ian Desmond is a long time Nat.
He's still relatively young.
He's been with the organization throughout his whole career. But sometimes you got to make those hard decisions. That's what makes the great managers great and make the average managers average. They're able to make those hard decisions, and not only make those hard decisions, but are able to get everyone to buy in and recognize this is best for the team.
And also Chris Manning says, "Williams will probably survive the season, but if they are sellers at next year's trade deadline, I think he's gone." And my man James Taylor said, "No, I think he survives for at least another year." So everybody pretty much agrees with you, Wilty, that he probably will get another year. I just think deservingly, in terms of what he deserves, if this team doesn't make the postseason with all the talent they do have. We're talking about a team that everybody put out there to go to the World Series. And they don't make the postseason. They lose to a Mets team that people didn't even figure out. I mean, they lose the NL East to a Mets team that many many experts think that the Mets weren't ready to take that next step this season, maybe next season. Then, you look at it like, all right, maybe you undermanaged. And then also the stigma of what happened against the Giants is still there in that postseason game when he took out Zimmerman, like he was going to get the W, and he took him out for Storm.
Yeah, I agree.
And speaking of Storm, he loses his job via the trade because of the trade deadline, because the Nationals acquired Jonathan Papelbon. So what are your thoughts about that pickup?
I think this wasn't a trade that was made for the right here and now. It was a trade made for October.
Okay.
I think it's well documented Drew Storm's struggles as a closer in the playoffs. Mm. So Rizzo and the organization made this decision with an eye towards October. But, you know, it's ironic because they're in a fight for their, you know, for their playoff lives relatively right now. And it may not be in October unless they're able to correct the errors of August. So I think it's a good trade. It is a necessary trade because me personally, as a Nats fan, I don't care what anyone says, I get antsy when Storm goes out there in the ninth.
Again, see, I like what Storm was doing. To me, Storm, I always thought Storm would be a really good closer. It was mental what happened to him in the postseason. Closers get touched up, but I felt from watching him play this season, I thought his mental makeup was better compared to the past. So when they made the trade for Papelbon, I was like, this is not a real need. Now, granted, they did want to get a setup guy so they can move Storm to be a setup guy. Now Storm is the setup guy and Papelbon is the closer, but this wasn't a true need in my opinion. I think this team needed, like you stated earlier, a bat. You know, Jason Worth may not be a 110%. You may not want to rely on the kid Taylor, you know, because he's still young and this team wants to make it to the World Series. You can try to get like maybe a Justin Upton. What's wrong about going after a Justin Upton or somebody like that?
I totally agree with you. I would have liked to have seen them double down and went after Kimbrel and Upton.
Yeah, why not? I mean, this is an opportunity for you to, I mean, because, you know, you always hear Bryce Harper come out and said, yeah, we expect to win the World Series. Well, the way the cards are dealt, because of injuries, because of whatever's happening, you're not looking like a World Series team. And that's because your offense is lacking. Now, I have all faith in Ramos. I think Ramos will hit eventually. But I don't look at Ramos as a guy that to help carry this team. Ramos will do his part. He'll be as you know, he'll hit about 260 eventually and hit and drive it maybe close to and hit maybe 20 home runs. But again, there's an opportunity to get an outfielder, and I feel like that's where the Nationals are struggling in getting a power outfielder because they've been having to use the left-handed kid Robinson a lot in left field. So there was an opportunity to get one of those guys, a corner guy in the outfield with power. So they didn't make that move. They decided to get Papelbon. We'll see how that pans out, though.
Yeah.
We'll see how it pans out.
Oh, no. Down the pregame. Sorry about that.
You could.
Dead silent. The Orioles, they're playing the A's tonight. The Orioles traded for Geraldo Pereira. Has this improved the team?
This is a move that definitely needed to be made. The Orioles were playing musical chairs with the left and right field position. Now they stabilize the left field position. We're bringing in Parra. So this is a guy that definitely improves his team because he's a Gold Glove caliber outfielder at left field, and he at the International League he was hitting .328. So he was competing for a batting title. And it also helps Manny Machado out. Manny Machado, who's going to still hit leadoff. Now there's a guy in front of him that when he does get on, he can hit the appropriate way. What I mean by that is Manny Machado's on first base, and you know the first baseman's holding him. He can pull it to right field and get in between the second and first baseman for an easy hit. Or you know he can bunt. He can do a lot of things that this team will need him to do to prolong innings, and the most important thing, he is patient at the plate, and you know he has a good batting guy. And when the Orioles need that, since they let Mick Markakis go, which I will play his audio because I went to Orioles Park in Camden Yards, had press seats to hear him, Nick Markakis being interviewed by the Baltimore Orioles on Monday, the first day back in Baltimore since he left the team for the Atlanta Braves. But I'll have that at the end of this segment. But definitely an improvement. Also with the Orioles, Chris Davis, which was also helped improve the Orioles. Chris Davis, strong play. Right now, he's about six. He's six in the AL in home runs, second in the AL in the RBIs. This is a guy that a lot of people writ off. And I was one of them. Said that the Orioles should trade him in the trade deadline to get, you know, maybe get some prospects in return. But he's hit well. He's streaking. And now it comes to the thought process of should the Orioles resign him, because after this season he's a free agent. And so you know that's the thing. You know, I want to see if the Orioles will do that. Have you been following Chris Davis at all?
I've been following his recent power surge mm-hmm. over the past couple of days.
So do you think the Orioles should resign him or should they let him walk?
See, here's the thing. If you don't resign him, what's
out there for you?
What's out there for you?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't think there's anyone out there for you that can bring you the power that he mm-hmm. can in the DH position. So I think if you're able to get something that's reasonable, mm-hmm. yeah, you bring him back. But if not, then you got to consider letting him walk, depending on if you're able to fill your other team needs.
And that's the thing. I don't think, and just referring to what you're saying, there's no player out there other than a couple of players I can think of in the minor league system for the Baltimore Orioles that I would say, okay, like Christian Walker. He's a guy in the Orioles system that you would call up. But again, you can't lose a guy who hit 40 home runs and driving 100 RBIs. Like letting a player like that go makes no sense. Excuse me, I'm looking for something right now as we speak. It makes no sense. So, but I would keep Chris Davis. The Orioles have a lot of hard decisions to make during the offseason because you have, again, like I mentioned, Chris Davis. Then you have Matt Wieters, who they may try to give a qualifying offer to. But Chris Davis at first base, he's played well. He's shown versatility to play right field. I'm trying to think of his market value for the Baltimore Orioles. Well, the market value in terms of being a free agent, you know, Adam Jones makes about $90 million. I think it's five. He hit a five-year deal for $90 million. Yeah. Chris Davis, now a guy who consistently hit about 40 home runs, 100 RBIs, he's not better than Adam Jones. What would his market be? If we're looking off Adam Jones 5 years, $90 million. But we always know it doesn't depend on that, a player on your team. It depends on the market value of a player that he's competing with at a particular position.
It depends on what someone is willing to pay.
Exactly.
Depending on the need and what the team wants,
mm-hmm.
the direction the team wants to go in. So I don't know what you would pay a Chris Davis at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that if you assess what you have internally and also what's out there on the market,
yeah.
there may not be a better solution for you. So I don't know. Maybe it's a 1 year deal with, you know.
Yeah, probably won't. He's going to get a bigger deal than a 1 year deal. I wish he's an Orioles fan.
With large money, maybe a two or three year deal mm-hmm. with, you know, large money, but you never know
yeah.
what someone's willing to pay a guy like Chris Davis, who, even though last year didn't have the numbers that he had.
Yeah, and the suspension too.
Yeah, so, but this year he's definitely going on a power surge later on in the season. That's definitely going to help his cause in free agency.
Definitely. I posed a question on Facebook. Should the Orioles resign Chris Davis? Rick said, we can't keep letting 40 home run, 100 RBI guys go each year. Just aren't many out there to replace them. Just like Will T said, it's a value. Again, who are you going to replace him? He's hit 40. He can average about 40 home runs, 100 RBIs. That's a valuable commodity. And also, I stated also within the question, it was like, what do you think his worth is? My girl Robin Smith said 5 years, 120. I think that's a tad bit too high. I do believe that he's going to look for his last contract. He's going to look for a multi-year deal, but I think that's a little bit too high. Trying to think. That's right. Oh yeah, my man Rob said I think he gets something like 4 years and $64 million. I think that's low. I do think that would be a little low.
Yeah, that's
I think it's about 90 to 100. I do believe that it's 90 to 100. We're close to $100 million. I do believe in that. 120, I don't think so, because you got to think Nelson Cruz was an older player, and he got limited years, maybe 3 years, and I think it was maybe like over 40. It was probably more than that. Nelson Cruz had a fat deal. He had a fat deal.
I don't know specifically what.
I don't have it. I'll pull it up later. But yeah, that his deal was pretty. His deal was decent though. But real quick. Like I stated before, I went to the Orioles game for Fox Sports Radio to do another show, and got an opportunity to see and interview Nick Markakis. So this audio is courtesy of the Soul and Sports Radio Show. Again, Nick Markakis back in Baltimore being interviewed by the press, including us. So take a listen.
Tonight, I'm sure I'll have a lot of nice things to say to you. Have you run into some around town today? What's the reality?
Yeah, I haven't been pretty much at the house, and I came straight here, so I haven't had any conversations with anybody yet. So we'll see how it goes.
Are you very curious to hear how it goes with the fans tonight?
Yeah, like I said before, they come to watch the Orioles and Braves play the game, and they're paying money to watch a ball game.
They can do what they want. We'll see what happens. How does that range of emotions kind of like coming back to when you kind of figured you weren't coming back and then that would be on the Braves? And I was different. I spent 9 years here. This is the team that drafted me. This is I was introduced to professional baseball and been gone after so many years. It's definitely different. But
I'm in a good place right now. I got great teammates, great organization. I'm happy where I am. I still know where the nooks and crannies are in the wall. I didn't get that. It was the best thing about being in Oriole. Yeah, the fans. You know, ultimately, the reason we play this game is for the fans. It's still a job. They say it's a kid's game. It's fun. But ultimately, we wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for the fans. Yeah, the fans of Baltimore have always been great to me and my family. And I guess the one thing I miss the most is the fans and the atmosphere.
Nick, it's a business as well. You mentioned it's a job. The business side of what you went through as a free agent, good or bad, what does that experience tell you about the business of baseball?
Anything can happen. You know, I've seen early in my career a lot of people coming and going. You just never thought one day would you do. It happens. Like I said, it's a business, and I understand the business aspect of baseball now. It's a tough thing to go through, especially when you're attached to a baseball team organization for so long. It was a little hard at first, but it took a little time to get over.
Stick to Orioles at that speed. You're bad. What are your thoughts on that?
That's not my problem anymore. That's what you have to do as a baseball player. You pay a lot of money to play a long season. You want to be out there every day and be in the public. And that's what I did over here.
What do you want to do the number this morning?
However you want to remember me as. I can remember as a guy that went out there and had fun and played the game the right way and just came to work every day to do what I can to help the team win.
How hard was it to play as hard as you did and as well as you did on some teams that were really bad everybody?
It wasn't hard at all. This is bad. This is a kid's game. You're supposed to have fun. Everybody wants to play. Winning is contagious. It's my job. I love to do what I did. Whether I win or lose, I still have fun. I still love what I do.
So I'm Baltimore, right? This is going to be your time.
Yeah. This is where we have our kids. Kids go to school here. We have great support. The community. And our friends here.
That was Orioles. That was former Oriole Nick Markakis, finally, arriving home. For me, that's like my favorite Oriole, one of my favorite Orioles of all time, to be honest with you. Glad that he got the standing ovation, for game one on Monday. Actually, he got a standing ovation pretty much all the games, but Monday it was special. He had a standing ovation. Just being able to be on the field with Nick Markakis, I was like right in viewing distance from him, like right there in his face. He was talking to BJ Surhall, and I was waiting. I was thinking to myself, like, dang, I should go ahead and tap him and just like start talking to him. And but then you could tell I was telling the dude that the co-host that I was with, Mike, that Mike was like, go over there. And I was like, nah, you can't go over there. Like, he's talking to somebody. If I was talking to you, we was having an in-depth conversation. Would you want some miscellaneous person to go ahead and bum rush you and say, oh, can I talk to you, sir? No, you wait your turn.
Yeah, so, I think that's the right thing to do. I think sometimes people forget that athletes are people too.
Definitely.
And they want to be treated a certain way. You know, if you see a person having a conversation in your ordinary day-to-day life, you would be upset if you were having a conversation with one of your friends or some. And, it doesn't even have to be a serious conversation.
There you go.
And you just ran up on the person and, hey, can I talk to you?
Like, nah, you I'm going to be like, forget you. I ain't trying to talk to you for real.
Yeah, I mean, so it's a way about doing everything. I think you handled it the right way.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. It's always good to have confirmation from one of my best friends, Will T. Let's go into boxing. All right. It was on Premier Boxing Championship. Danny Garcia defeated Paulie Maggiano. Malinaggi. I'm thinking about Maggiano's. I love that place. Good food.
high in salt.
What? Really?
Yeah. A lot of salt in that food.
You don't like you don't like it though? You don't like it though?
No, I didn't say I didn't like
it. Oh, but high salt, yeah. They give big portions.
Huge portions.
I know.
Big Italian portions.
Yeah, I know. Things like that. All right, so you saw the fight?
Yeah, I caught that fight. I didn't see the Daniel Jacobs fight. Sergio Moore, Daniel Jacobs versus
Moore,
just because Power was on.
Mm-hmm. That show is so popular. It's so popular.
It's a great show.
Everybody watches it. My brother loves it. That's why I can't watch it, because my brother loves it so much.
It's a great show. I try not to miss it. I haven't missed any episode of it.
Wow. It's that good.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it.
But I did watch I was in the middle. I was doing something else while the fight was on. So, you know, I was going back and forth between mm-hmm. watching the fight and doing and concentrating on what else I was doing. But mm-hmm. This was the perfect opponent for Danny Garcia to make his transition to 147 pounds full time. Paulie Malignaggi, a very respected fighter, but realistically a fighter that couldn't hurt him if he was at 140 or 147, but that's not to take away from any of the skill set that Paulie Malignaggi has. He's a guy who's won championships. He's fought some of the best of his era. He came up short during those times when he's faced like that elite level of competition. This was, even though Danny Garcia still has a lot of career left, he came up short again against a guy that's considered an A-level fighter. He beat him. Pretty much beat him. I'm not going to say into submission, but he beat him until the point where the referee had to stop the fight just because Malignaggi was taking a lot of shots to the head, to the temple area. But, you know, Paulie Malignaggi, he went out on his shield in front of his hometown in Brooklyn after the fight. Shortly after the fight, he declared that, you know, he thinks that was his last hurrah in the ring, and he'll just focus on calling fights for Showtime. And, you know, no shame how he went out. He just lost to a better fighter. But on the flip side, Danny Garcia, this opens up avenues of opportunity for him. You know, he's at 147. He's in a premier boxing championship series of, you know, fighters. So, you know, there are lots of guys at 147 that would be a lot of interesting fights for him, such as if he decides to take it. A rematch with Amir Khan. There's always an Adrian Broner fight. There's always a Sean Porter, a Keith Thurman. There's a possibility he may fight a guy like Kell Brook.
So you can take a Lamont Peterson again?
I don't think he would give Lamont Peterson a rematch.
I don't think
so. Just like I don't think he would give Amir Khan a rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Those were two very close fights for him. Even though he knocked out Amir Khan, anyone who remembers and saw that
Khan was dominating the fight.
Yeah, Khan was. I'm not gonna say
he dominated, but he had a good little.
But Khan was
giving him business.
He was giving him the business, and you know, Danny Garcia didn't throw a lucky punch, but he calculated left hook to Amir Khan's chin, and you know, there has been some talk and some people question the toughness of Amir Khan's chin. So there are definitely some entertaining fights out there for him. If he continues to keep winning and, you know, winning in such stellar fashion, you know, down the road, you know, some interesting fights for him. So everyone will continue to, you know, keep a watch on his career and see where he goes from here with his next fight.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see the fight. I did want to see. I was watching it, but then alcohol started playing a part with my mind, and I don't remember what I was watching. I was watching it, though. I was watching it because it was at Looney's. I was watching it, and then I just saw Paulie Malignaggi's face. It looked like beaten up bad. Like he got the business. Like, was he tagging his face?
Yeah, he caught him with a couple shots to the cheekbone area and to mm-hmm. the nose and to the temple.
Mm-hmm. And it was stopped at 9, right?
Yeah, the referee stopped it at around 9.
Mm-hmm. So I would like to see Danny Garcia. I actually want to see a rematch with Lamont. And I'm not saying that because Lamont's local. I'm saying it because I want to see it. Because I want to see Lamont fight, go at Danny Garcia early rather than waiting it out and then deciding to turn it on. You know, I want to see if he learned from what happened in the last fight where, you know, I think we were just waiting him out and just, you know, tiring him out. And then eventually he knew when it was his time to get at him. But I would like to see Lamont, see if he can do that early. That way, you know, I think it'd be a better fight just for the fans' point of view.
I mean, it would be a better fight for the fans. You know, I think everyone would have loved to see the fight contested at 147.
Yeah.
Then at a catch weight of 143. But there's no way in hell that I think Danny Garcia takes this fight unless it's an eliminator or is mandated by a governing body. It's just there's nothing for him to gain at this point fighting Lamont Peterson.
Okay, so you mentioned Thurman. I like that one. Thurman versus Danny Garcia. Would he take that fight? That's dangerous to him. I think that'd be dangerous for him.
Fight, but I don't think he would take it just yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he takes that fight just yet. There are too many, you know. That would be a big fight.
It would be, yeah.
Keith Thurman, probably in the eyes of Danny Garcia, needs to step up in the level of competition.
So what would be a – because you're the boxing expert between the two.
Not
definitely.
Expert.
Between the two of us.
I'm just a guy who likes
– All right, between the two of us. You know what I mean? Between the two of us. You're the expert between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he – who do you think he's going to fight? Like, who is he definitely going to fight in your opinion? If you had to think about it now, like, who would you say – you would say, like, yeah, that's the fight. That's the fight for him.
The next fight for him?
Mm-hmm. Or do you see him fighting somebody, a lesser competitive boxer again?
I think him take – I could see him versus Sean Porter. If Sean Porter wins his fight in the next coming weeks. But realistically, I don't see that fight happening this year.
Okay.
I think him versus Thurman would be an excellent fight.
Okay.
But I just don't see the reason why Al Haymon would match them at this point.
Got you.
Especially when both of them are steadily ascending.
I hear you.
It'd be
bad for 147. Be bad for business.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be. It's not good for business because you have two guys who are considered the elite fighters at 147, and at this point, it isn't a really big outcry from the public to see that match.
All right.
And it's not a lot at stake at this point.
Okay, so. Speaking of boxing, it was just announced not too long ago that Floyd Mayweather Jr. on his Instagram said on September 12th he will be fighting Berto.
Yeah, on Showtime pay per view.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with Showtime pay per view, it's not going to be on CBS.
Yeah, it's going to be on Showtime pay per view. I'm not mad at it. I'm not paying. $60 for the fight. It's a solid fight. I wouldn't pay $60 for the fight.
Yeah, but you would definitely see it on CBS. It should have been a CBS. Do you think it should have been a CBS fight compared to a Showtime fight?
A pay per view fight. I think it should have been a Showtime fight. Not a Showtime pay per view fight. But I understand the economics of it.
Of course, I totally agree with you.
A pay per view fight, but It'll be entertaining. You know, Berto's a guy who's a hard hitter.
Berto ain't no slouch, man.
He's not a slouch. Yeah. Despite what the general public thinks, they hear that he's lost the last three of his last six fights. Berto isn't a slouch. Berto, when he's healthy and his shoulders are feeling great, he's a guy that throws a dangerous left hook.
Mm-hmm. He's very scary.
Yeah, he's a guy who has a lot of pop, so... It could potentially be an interesting fight. It's not going to be a fight for the ages.
No,
it's not going to be a fight that I'm excited to pay for. But it's a fight that I do want to see.
Yeah, I want to see the fight. There is some compelling. It's a compelling fight to me because you get to see, like, styles make fights. So Berto, the way he is, he'll go at you. He could be reckless with it. He'll go after Floyd with nothing but power shots. So, you know, for people who want to see Floyd get knocked out, there's a chance. It won't. I don't think it's gonna happen, but there's a chance because he's a true puncher.
Yeah, Berto has a lot of pop, but Berto also as a guy that's been caught on the chin.
Exactly. So you can. So Floyd, this is a guy that Floyd could knock out. So it could be an entertaining fight.
It could be an entertaining fight. A fight that I want to see, but depending on how much are you going to charge people.
Yeah, we like already know. Said, you already know how I roll with that charge thing.
Yeah, I know. if you're going to charge people 60 some odd bucks, and it's just not a fight I'm interested in paying for. But you know, if the price point is right, I pay for it and watch it and support.
All right, down to pregame. Last but not least, Roddy Piper, man. R.I.P. Roddy Piper. He died at the age of 61 from the cardiac arrest. What is your favorite Roddy Piper moment? If you don't have a moment, what do you remember?
I don't have a moment. I just remember him being a heel.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't watch, I used to watch wrestling. Heels are the bad guys in wrestling. If you aren't up on the lingo. I remember him being very one of the most, having a lot of bravado.
Mm-hmm.
Being one of the better, bigger personalities in WWE wrestling,
mm-hmm.
with the kilt.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the more likable bad guys. So, you know, rest in peace, Roddy Piper. You entertained a lot of us, a lot of, you know, me, people in my era that's my age, if they were wrestling fans, came up watching you. So much respect and my condolences to his family.
Same thing. A big ups to Ronda Rousey for paying homage to Roddy Piper after she knocked out, I forgot her name, in 34 seconds. Roddy Piper to me, I will always remember Roddy Piper because when I was just trying to stay up to watch Saturday Night Main Event, and he was always on Saturday Night Main Event in the WWE, back then the WWF, and how he would just, you know, entertain the crowd or, you know, entertain the masses with, you know, his like, erratic speech. Like he would get hyper like out of nowhere and he'd just go off of stuff, and I would sit to myself like, what is he talking about? Like, it makes no sense, but he's just going off. Or, you know, the Piper's Pit, you know, when he's just had, you know, amazing negative interviews, like he went with Jimmy Superfly Snuka. And you know, back then you didn't think about it, but that dude was a racist on the low, and he did some real racy stuff. He did Bad News Brown. He painted his face black. I don't really blame Roddy Piper for that one. That's right. I think I give that more to writers and stuff for allowing him to do it, because no one has, you know, wrestling. No one has that type of freedom.
You can't deviate from the script.
Yeah, too much. Exactly. So, but you know, he did a lot of stuff to play that heel role. But again, Roddy Piper was one of the people that I will miss. The wrestling individuals that, you know, I grew up watching, so I will miss, you know what I mean? I feel like three wrestlers have passed away over the last, you know, couple of months. You had Dusty Rhodes, Hulk Hogan, and Roddy Piper.
Hulk Hogan didn't die. Hulk Hogan, the entertainer, passed.
Hulk Hogan's gone.
His real name, Terry.
Terry Bollea.
Terry Bollea is still alive, but Hulk Hogan is dead as far as WWE is concerned.
Yeah, and as far as the individual who wrote him, he's dead too. He's dead to me, son. Fudging dead, son.
We weren't here, but you know, just that situation. I mean, we'll talk about it when we come back from
the break. You're talking about break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter, hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times, without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
Yeah, I try and make it next month, sitting up there, fucking shredded shit up.
How much money is that?
Yellow beat, holla at me.
And chewy on some hot. Like I told Tish, I see when I like you seen him twirl, then he drops it. And we keep them to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop. And he be wildin', he some hot. Tones only get busy with them. Try to run down and you could catch. Running through these checks till I pass out.
Pass out.
And shorty give me neck till I pass out.
Pass
I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't a, get up on my trap house. I've been selling since like the fifth grade. Really never made no difference with the shit made. That told me flip them packs and how to maintain. Get that money back and spend it on the same thing. Shorty like the way that I ball out. I be getting money time fall out. You talking cash, dog, I goes all out. Shorty love the way that I flow out. Free greasy them, let all of my dogs out. Mama send no cats inside my dog. That's what got my daddy locked up in the dog pound. Free fan on them, let all of my dogs out. We gon' pull up in that like we cops on them.
With them Bobby Smarter rocks. I don't even like this dude in this song rocks to me.
Send a drop on her. She gon' call me up and I'ma sick the high.
You like Bobby Smarter? You don't like that Bobby Smarter, but you like 2 Chainz. Oh my gosh, we're gonna have a discussion. Why do you like 2 Chainz, man? Why?
You didn't listen. You don't have Dirty Sprite.
I don't got none of them. I don't like as a wrestling fan, I don't like they change his name. It annoys me. Used to be Titty Boy, now he's like 2 Chainz. He ain't like, cause you wanna be like this. I guess, man, he was disturbing the peace, man. I remember him disturbing the peace. He was like on the MTV Diary thing with Ludacris and his crew. I remember that thing like it was yesterday. Anyway, man, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene. You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. Walio is spelled W-A-L-E-O. Podbeam is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N.com. We are also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Career Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. Again, our phone lines are open. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Make sure you're listening to us on the BDSIR network. And then, again, the website is www.bdsirnetwork.com. All right. You want to talk about the Hogan thing real quick before you go to the Redskins?
I was just going to say that there are a lot of issues in sports. I know we haven't been here for past week.
Yeah, two weeks. About 2 weeks. Weeks. Well, maybe a week. I think it's a week. Probably a week. Go ahead.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
time runs together sometimes.
Yeah.
No, it's just interesting. A lot of undertones of a lot of things that have gone on in sports over, and also, you know, just sports entertainment, specifically sports entertainment with Hulk Hogan, where if you heard the alleged rant, I don't necessarily think it was too bad, but he was just telling the story and explaining something.
Yeah.
Then also you have, even though he was leaving ESPN, Colin Cowherd, who was pulled off of the air for his comments about the Dominican Republic.
And the way, you know, they're smart, not smart enough,
yeah,
or something.
And the lack of communication and things like that. Even though I get what he was trying to say, it just came off to some people as offensive. I don't think he was trying to offend anyone, but it came off as offensive. And then
he's going to Fox anyway.
Yeah, he's going to Fox Sports anyway, so it's just a great lead in for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a conversation that we're going to touch on in the next segment, which is Chip Kelly and his alleged racist behavior. Mm-hmm. We're going to have an in-depth conversation about that one. Might have to move a couple things around the next, because I have a lot to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, it's a topic that race within sports and within life, I don't think we'll ever be able to move forward as a country unless
we'll talk about that now.
Have an uncomfortable conversation.
We can talk about it right now.
Yeah, let's talk about
We talk about it right now. It's good leeway. We can push that back.
Just with the Chip Kelly thing, I think when we were in this studio 3 years ago, 2 years ago, something happened with that Eagles team with Riley Cooper when training camp was opening up. And I stated that how he handles this, it will show me if he's a leader of men going forward.
Okay, yeah.
I remember exactly saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
The way he handled that situation, he did himself a huge disservice.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you had is you had a guy, Riley Cooper, who, not alleged, but is caught on camera spewing all types of hatred and racist words.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, making idle threats to a security guard during a concert. Then how he handled the situation and how he handled situations going forward, I think it's the biggest reason why he's been called out by certain black players by saying he's racist.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at it this way, Riley Cooper, who at the time was a marginal wide receiver who hadn't contributed much, if not anything, to the Eagles organization, was caught on camera using the N-word, saying he will kill every N-word in here.
Mm-hmm.
How Chip Kelly handled the situation was he sent Riley Cooper away for a day or two,
mm-hmm.
and said that, oh, I'm making him take some type of training. Sensitivity training, which I don't think you can really complete in 24 hours.
Not at all.
Hours, but hey, whatever. Then you brought him back. And then not only did you bring him back, Riley Cooper produced at a slightly above average
level. Mm-hmm.
And you reward him with a 5-year, $25 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next year, you have a guy, DeSean Jackson, who's coming off of a career year in your system.
Yes, indeed.
DeSean Jackson, although there may have been incidents that I don't know of within that Philadelphia organization with him and Chip Kelly or that locker room.
Players backed him. A lot of players backed him.
Players backed him. And not only that, he produced at an extremely high level. Now, because DeSean Jackson didn't do things your way,
mm-hmm.
you decide to get rid of him.
And then you had to talk about being gang and then, gangs
then,
is
then,
an issue.
Then yeah, then there's the leaks that come out about the gang issues and the affiliation and things like that. So we don't know if that came from the Philadelphia Eagles organization, but I don't think that is necessarily a coincidence that when you decide to release a guy who produced at a Pro Bowl, All Pro level, there's a smear campaign going on.
Happens here. Plug this. It happens here a lot. It happens here with the Redskins. You hear, you know, things get leaked out to make a player look bad because they don't want that player to make the organization look bad. You know what I mean? Happens with LeVar Arrington. Even, you know, leaks come out with RG3 with Shanahan. So, yeah, I agree with you in terms of that. You don't know if the organization leaked that out to make DeSean Jackson look a certain way. But go ahead, okay, I'm sorry.
So then fast forward to this past offseason. In what, March?
Yeah, Macklin in it? Or you
AU allowed Jeremy Macklin to go, which, for all accounts, they did make a very aggressive effort to keep Jeremy Macklin.
Okay.
No one's disputing that. But you let go LeSean McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who didn't have the season that he had previously, you know, in 2013, mm-hmm. he had 1,600 yards. Mm-hmm. This past year, he had 1,300 yards. You decide to get rid of him for allegedly not buying in, and mm-hmm. for what you say allegedly is for financial reasons,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, so then you have another case of a guy who didn't buy in but produced at a high level, and you decide to keep him. All the while, Riley Cooper just had another year, which he was rated by Pro Football Focus as the worst receiver in the NFL. But you decide to keep that guy.
Mm.
Then also you have another incident. You have, I'm not going to say an incident, but you release a guy, Brandon Boykin.
Who got traded.
Who was traded for
a fifth round pick.
For a fifth round
conditional
pick.
Conditional fifth
conditionally
round
pick. Be a fourth round if he played 60% of the snaps going to Pittsburgh. On his way out, he said that he feels Chip Kelly isn't comfortable relating to guys from his culture that are that age.
Yeah.
To me, the worst thing that people are doing is kind of dismissing this.
That's being dismissive. That's totally
the worst thing you could do.
Is dismiss this whole thing.
Is be dismissive of it. If it's not just one, two, three, then you also have Trey Thomas, who is a former Eagle left tackle, but a former offensive line coach within that organization who had been there since Chip Kelly was there. And on his way out, he made some comments about potential issues of race.
Yeah.
With Chip Kelly and the way he's handling that organization. I think the biggest disjustice you can do is be dismissive of it and not take these things into account. Now, you have to – now, if you're Chip Kelly, you have to step back and be like – you can't be defensive and say, I'm not a racist.
Yeah.
I think the best thing you could do for yourself and for this organization forward is to maybe look at your actions.
Assess yourself. Mm-hmm.
If you really want to get this thing turned around and get it to the level that you wanted to be at, and you know, and if you want people to really buy in to what you're doing and you want to have complete control of this organization, you may have to step back and look back and say, what am I doing? Is it maybe it's, and maybe it is true, you know, but maybe he has to say, maybe I do have some communication problems.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, if you look at, I don't think anyone knocks a guy who does it his way, who wants to have total control, and who may have communication problems with his players. You look at guys who's been successful, like Tom Coughlin, a my way or the highway guy. Yeah. Bill Parcells, a my way or the highway guy. Who else?
Tom Coughlin, Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick, a my way or the highway guy. They've all been successful. They've all been strict.
Bill Cowher is the same way.
Bill Cowher has been my way or the highway, but I don't never think there's ever been a mention of racism by players who've been on the outs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the easiest thing to say for people to say is, oh, well, they just upset, they're salty because they got traded or they've been released. No, that may have something to do with it, you know, but while you're inside that power structure, you aren't going to necessarily make those waves. But when you're out and you're able to be free, you feel a little bit more freedom and you're willing to speak up.
Of course, but it's natural. Of course you're going to say something when you're out. That's nothing wrong with that. Because if you're going to say something within, then you're going to be deemed as – then they're going to look at your problem. You won't get any playing time. They'll probably scratch your playing time. They'll do other things to you. You say it when you're way out. You get your honest feelings. If you're respecting an organization, you're not going to say anything. Because at the end of the day, you never know what's going to happen in your career. You may need to go back to the organization. Same thing when you badmouth you. Like, you may dislike your employer, right? Mm-hmm. You may. It's the truth. You may. But if it's not as strong in terms of, say, like, if it's not as strong, you're not going to say anything about that employer. Because you know what? You don't know down the road you may need that employer. You may apply to a job that person's the boss of. Right?
Right.
So you leave off on what? Good terms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Right. You know what I'm saying? So obviously, to me, that Chip Kelly rubbed these dudes the wrong way, like it was that bad that they felt like they had to say something. You know what I mean? You got players like Boykins. Boykins is Boykins isn't a player like a DeSean Jackson who's so talented that Boykins can be like, he's an elite corner. So it's not like the calling for him is going to be that thorough. You know what I mean? So he could, truth be told, he can burn bridges by having that statement. So obviously, to me, it holds more clout when he says it, because it's like, oh, you're not LeSean McCoy, you're not DeSean Jackson, you're just a guy. You're a third corner. You're a nickel cornerback.
You make a very valid point, because I think coming from two star players, where a lot of people, you would think that they would get star treatment,
mm-hmm.
right? But then you have a guy like Brandon Boykin, who's more of a foot soldier, a guy just even though he's one of the better slot corners in the NFL, it's just a guy on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Not a superstar, but one of the harder working players who's made a name for himself in the league. And for him to say it, you know, you got to start to say, okay, one time, maybe two times. All right, three times, there's definitely some smoke there.
Yeah.
Maybe, not to say that I'm calling
I'm not calling him a racist. Yeah.
You know, maybe he's ignorant to the fact of some of the things that he does or the way he conducts himself or the way he interacts with some players, and that can be off-putting to some.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm not going to say that he's racist, just like I'm not going to say that Riley Cooper's a racist. Yeah. I didn't call for Riley Cooper's job or say that he was a racist. Now, he did make a racist term, and he did have some very racist actions.
Yeah.
But I don't know what his heart is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, for me, all of this can have been averted all of this, you know, Chip Kelly's pretty much brought all of this on himself by not, if he could have gone back 3 years ago, two or three years ago, and handled that situation differently, I don't think that he has this problem now.
Yeah, and don't forget, I mean, also I didn't mention, but Boykin said that he said he thinks that Chip Kelly is uncomfortable around grown men of our culture.
Of our culture, yeah.
So, I mean, again, he didn't call anybody racist, but I do agree with
And not to take anything away from Chip Kelly, certain people, the reality is, even within the workplace, that certain ethnicities aren't comfortable around other ethnicities.
That's true.
You know, just because if they don't present themselves in a light that they deem to be okay with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the best example I can give anyone is, let's take a guy like Grant Hill.
Yeah.
Clean cut, comes from a suburban area. Two parent household. Grew up in Reston, which isn't that far from here, but a very well-to-do area. Yes. During that time, was very affluent.
Yeah, father NFL player.
Yeah,
mom was a lawyer, right?
Uh huh.
Okay.
Now let's take a guy like
Jalen Rose. There you go. we can use the Fab Five documentary.
Yeah, Jalen Rose. A guy from a single parent household.
Dad abandoned him.
Dad abandoned him from the inner city. Didn't have the presentation like a Grant Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are two guys who at that point in their life were at the same place, going to two of the finer
institutions,
educational institutions in America at the time. If you see Grant Hill and the way he presented himself, and you see Jalen Rose and the way he presented himself, some people that aren't from the side of town where Jalen Rose is from wouldn't be as comfortable with him. Yeah. They would be more comfortable with Grant Hill.
Exactly.
Just like you go into a work environment.
Yeah.
This may, you know, I may catch some flack for saying this.
Just tell the truth, man.
But yeah, you see the African American guy who's clean cut with a suit, who's very articulate.
Yeah, that term I don't like for black people.
I hate that.
People say it for black people all the time.
When they describe a black person, they say, oh, he's articulate.
I cringe.
All black people are
articulate. Yeah, I cringe with that crap.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And you speaks very well. Then you have a guy who may be, I don't know, working on the, who may be part of the maintenance
team. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Whose appearance may not be as polished as the guy who wears the suit.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the nature of his work, people are going to most likely gravitate towards that guy.
It's your suit.
More than the person who's on the maintenance staff whose style of dressing is.
Because he's in a uniform. He looks like he's a little rugged because he's doing hands-on work.
He's doing manual labor.
Manual labor. That's better. Yeah.
You know, just like I'm educated, but sometimes how I go out and I look like I look now. To be all put to someone. Someone may be scared. You know,
that's true. Yeah,
I shaved in about 2 weeks. Haven't got a haircut. I got a shape up in about 2 weeks.
And people be more comfortable around me because I'm wearing a button up, some slacks.
Absolutely.
It is what it is. I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. You know what? The crazy thing about that is, I'm cognitive of that, so I pay attention to it big time. So I always, like, when I'm at work, like, I always say what's up to the brother in a suit or brother in the maintenance. I'll stop and talk. I'll stop and I'll leave folks I'm talking to and talk to a person from maintenance or whatever. Like, because if I'm down with you, I'm down with you. Don't matter, whatever.
I treat
everybody the same.
I treat everyone the same regardless of your position in your
exactly,
life.
Yeah, exactly.
The only people I treat differently are my family members. That's the only...
Yeah, I dig that.
Because that's my family. I love them.
Yeah, I dig that.
And that love is not going anywhere, but I treat everyone the same. I'm respectful of everyone. Mm-hmm. I don't care what your role is within the company.
It.
I don't care what your work is.
I love it.
As long as you're a respectful person, I'm going to be respectful back.
Love it.
And when you aren't respectful to me, then
it's a problem.
I talk to you a different way.
But back to what you were saying, though.
But like I said, Chip Kelly, all of this could have been averted if he had handled the Riley Cooper situation differently. Because what it looks like, and perception becomes reality, is it perception becomes reality to a lot of people, is you had two black players who were leaders, superstars within your team, produced at an extremely high level, all pro, pro bowl levels. And you get rid of them because they didn't buy into your system or they didn't do it exactly the way you wanted. But then you have a guy like Riley Cooper, who for all intents and purposes is average, average at best, made some racist comments and he's still there. But he buys into what you're saying. So what is it? So what's the determining factor?
Hey, what's the, like, what do you do? What's your plan? Like, what's your plan?
Cutoff? What's the determining factor?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Can you couple that with the way that some players feel the way that he isn't necessarily comfortable with players of a certain ethnicity. So, like I said, Chip Kelly and Jeff Lurie, who's the owner of the Eagles, they could have averted this situation by handling by taking more care with the way and more sensitivity with the way they handled the Riley Cooper situation.
Again, you listen to Urban Sports saying, the issue I have, maybe because I'm watching like ESPN or whatever, and the people, some of these little experts that they come out and talk about
that's
the situation.
Your problem, you watching
ESPN. I know that's the problem. That's the problem. You know, they'll come out and just say, like you referred to before, like they're salty. Like the Eagles have either released them, trade these individuals. They have no importance, and they have no importance. But they're angry that, you know, that they left on bad terms. And I'm like, if it happened to one person, then I would agree with you. All right, DeSean Jackson's a hothead, so it's one player. I'd be like, all right, maybe, whatever. LeSean McCoy, all right, that's kind of wild. That's two of your best players. Like, really? Two of your best players? And he was pissed off to a point where he didn't even want to respond to when people came at him about it. He's like, I don't even want to talk about it anymore because he's pissed off at the whole thing. Then you had Boykins, like I mentioned, Boykins, a guy who isn't a star player. He's not flat out calling him a racist, but he is saying there is problems within the communication aspect of people of that culture. Then I'm saying to myself, like, all right, it's an issue. It may not be as strong as you want to think. It may not be as strong as using the term he's a racist, but it is an issue, and you cannot ignore the issue.
Like I said, I'll reiterate, I don't think he's racist. Maybe he's culturally insensitive.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe he's unaware of the perception of him, and he doesn't do much to aid that perception, which is understandable. We all, you know, hey, people think about me a certain way. I'm not going to do anything to necessarily change it, depending on, you know, if the way you're thinking about it, if it affects my money or not. But, you know, I'm not going to say there's an issue, but I think you're doing a huge disservice by just trying to sweep it under the rug and just act like it doesn't exist and being dismissive of it.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. Anyway, it's about time for commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the Washington Redskins. This discussion about this social discussion had to take over the Washington Redskins. I appreciate that, Will T. Thank you.
Oh, that's cool.
All right, man. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right
would make an impact on your face. And I was right. Why? Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Life is good. Life is good.
Life is good. Life is good. Life is good. Life is good.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
Man, I love me some Skylar Diggins, man. I really do. And anyway, our last segment of the show, we are going to mention about which female athlete, you know, one would take on a date. I know y'all can already tell who I want. I've been preaching this child for a minute though, you know what I mean? Though I am like her senior. I'm like eight. How many? I might be a couple. Well, not a couple. Enough years of her senior, but I'd take out Skylar Diggins in a second, though. That's like my baby.
Okay.
I ain't talking about it yet, though. No, I got a bunch of it. Actually, this topic has been awesome because I put this out on, like, Twitter and on, you know, even in this group I'm in, and everybody responded to it.
It's okay,
like,
cool.
They're folks I don't even know about.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that later anyway.
Anyway, let's
go into we're going to talk about the Washington Redskins training camp and just the Redskins news in general. The Redskins signed Ryan Kerrigan to an extension, 5-year deal worth $57.5 million, $24.28 million guaranteed.
Told you.
What?
I recall.
What you telling me?
About a year ago, we had a discussion on who would you sign long term.
Oh,
Ryan Kerrigan or Brian Arakpo.
Oh yeah, you told me. It's okay, man.
I told you.
I'm loyal to my Nigerians, man.
Yeah.
You see the African versus the world, the basketball?
Kim
Olajuwon put the work on.
Yeah,
work
I, on I heard that him and Dikembe Mutombo.
Yes, Dikembe.
They played.
Team Walk.
And Olajuwon still has that.
He got the dream. He still got the dream shake. Yeah, he does, man.
Which isn't surprising. He had terrific footwork while he was in the NBA, and he still
awesome
tries. I don't know why he tries to work with him, but he's still trying to work with Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard, offensive game. Two left feet. In the post, I tell you. But yeah, Ryan Kerrigan, well deserved. 13.5 sacks last year. He's the third highest paid
outside
linebacker behind, obviously,
Clay Matthews.
No, the first one's the one from Kansas City.
Justin Houston,
Clay Matthews. Yeah, those just those two. So that's amazing.
I mean, I've gone on record on this show and said that he's the defensive player that Washington should have paid.
Yeah,
and they did pay him. What are you laughing at? I'm just
Give yourself credit. Keep it going, man. You good, bro?
He's been a playmaker from day one since he's come in. You know, whether not just getting quarterback hurries or sacks, but also deflecting, getting interceptions and deflections and things like that. So, touche. Congratulations for Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah, I agree. Congratulations. Anyway, also, the Redskins signed Junior Gallet to a 1-year deal worth $500,000.
To the league minimum.
League minimum, yeah.
I'm interested to hear your opinion on this.
About what? The signing of him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about his signing. I do like – I wanted Trent Murphy to get the opportunity. Are you thinking about more of what he did? Supposedly, what he did?
What he allegedly did? You see?
I haven't seen the video, so I don't know.
I saw.
They say it. They say it's. You know, his lawyer is saying that's not him. So, what's your opinion?
It looks awfully
like him.
Close to him, yes.
They say he's the guy who doesn't have the. He's saying he wasn't the one with the belt.
Oh, that was him.
If
that the guy with the belt looked just like him.
Okay.
I don't know if Junior Gallet saw the video or Junior Gallet blacked out during the incident.
Okay.
But the guy has a very strong resemblance to Junior Gallet, and
okay.
He strikes a young lady in the face with a belt.
Well, you already know how I feel about any person, any guy.
Yeah, so that's why I'm curious to know which.
Oh, if he put his hands on a chick, he should be on my team.
Okay.
I'm very consistent with that. You don't have to worry about that.
I can appreciate that. That shows you're a man of high character because you talk to some Washington fans and they say, you know, they look at the film, look at the YouTube clip and they're like, that tried to defend. Nah, that's not him. Oh. That's not him.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
I saw it.
But I'm not gonna.
I'm not saying I'm just saying it's an awfully strong resemblance to him.
All I'm saying, if he put his hands on a chick, he should be on my team. That's all it has to be. But now, in terms of, like, I heard, I keep messing with Scott McLuhan said, the media tried to go at him saying, well, I get, you know, you said you wouldn't get character guys, and this is, you know, this because of what's going
he
on.
He is a character.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
And he was saying, like, well, you know, this guy, he's pretty much defending the signing of Junior Gallet, whatever his name is, Gallet, saying that, he seems like a good character guy and whatnot, and you know, people make mistakes. And this is my thing about football. I'm not into character guys. I really don't care about your character. As long as you help me win football games, I'm fine. To me, Randy Moss's character wasn't the best. If you want to go that route, Terrell Owens' character wasn't the best. I'm not talking about character within like criminal records and stuff like that. Because to me, a saint, you know, you have some shady dudes who have not committed a crime, and you could have saints to me who have committed a crime, but to me they're better people than, you know, the people, a person that didn't commit a crime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I don't care about, you know, the term character or character guy. As long as you help me win football games, I'm good. You know, I'm good. If you allow me to win football games, I'm good. I don't need that character crap. That crap does nothing for me. Now, I don't want that dude on my again, it goes back to my saying, though, if you put it, but this is me. I don't need a dude. I don't respect the dude who puts his hands on a female, though. So that's totally different.
Well, just from on the field,
yeah.
Do you think this is an upgrade?
I like the defense. I like Trent Murphy. So I wanted to give Trent Murphy an opportunity. We drafted him. I'm about giving a homegrown kid an opportunity. This is a guy they predicted to replace a Rakpo anyway. So why give him a chance? Be honest with you, Gallet. I mean, from all reports that I hear, Gallet's gonna get suspended anyway, so it doesn't matter. He's gonna get suspended. Trent Murphy's job until he gets back.
Preston Smith.
Yeah, but he's got a lot to work on.
Yeah. Taking the character issues, even though it's hard to take those aside, and just look at it from a on-field production, it's an excellent signing for Washington.
Yeah.
What I've always stated that this team has lacked is two perennial pass rushers and also depth. Mm-hmm. So with the signing of Junior Gallet, this improves your depth. This puts Preston Smith and puts Trent Murphy in backup roles. So, you know, you have just Junior Gallet, a guy who had 22 sacks over the past two seasons, mm-hmm. with Ryan Kerrigan. Then you also have Pot Roast,
yeah.
Terrence Knighton, and then you have Jason Hatcher. For the first time in a while, this looks like you may have a legitimate, actual NFL pass rush.
Let's just be real. Gallet's not playing anytime soon. Like, probably week 8. So, he's not going to play. But you'll have Trevor.
You think so?
Yeah. No, he's getting suspended.
He'll play in week 3.
I think he'll be... Nah, I don't think so.
If he's suspended, he'll play in week 3. You want to know why? Because that incident, if it's him...
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have any way of proving that it's him.
Okay.
Because no charges were brought against him.
Okay.
Would have happened under the old personal conduct policy, which would have stayed it for 2 games. He hasn't been suspended before by the league. He's had incidents, but they've been dropped.
I don't trust nothing.
So,
with
them. I do.
You don't think a remix, you don't think a remix, remix a rule? They're good at
They're good at it, but... That's why they're in court now with the Tom Brady. And I ultimately think...
Well, that's not Tom Brady, though.
He isn't, but I ultimately think that... I know a lot of people are making a big fuss over the NFLPA defending Tom Brady, but I think the NFLPA is going by the right strategy. If they consistently get verdicts or get rulings that show that Roger Goodell is abusing his power in regards to the collective bargaining agreement... this a call for maybe an outcry from league players to stand up and try to strip Roger Goodell of some of his power. So I think that the NFLPA, from a strategic standpoint, is going about the right way.
Roger Goodell deserves everything he gets in life. Everything. He deserves everything, good or bad. Anyway, Rashard Breeland, cornerback for the Washington Redskins, injured himself in practice. You see the injury? You see?
No,
you see?
I heard that he was taking off in the car.
That thing looked terrible.
With the MCL sprain.
That thing looked terrible. It did.
Well, he was suspended for the first game.
For weed?
From last year. Marijuana.
From last year? Court.
Yeah, on the VCU's campus with marijuana during training.
What took so long?
I don't know.
That was weed from last year.
Last year's weed. No, I didn't see the injury, but this is definitely a blow to them because, you know, Rashard Breeland, the way he played last year, had a very solid rookie season.
Sure did. And
a lot of people around here excited.
Yeah, it had me excited, man. To me, he was the best cornerback. He's definitely the best cornerback on the field for the Washington Redskins, even with the healthy D-Hall. And speaking of D-Hall, D-Hall returns too. And this funny thing about it, even with the healthy Rashard Breeland, a healthy David Amerson, D-Hall was named D-Hall from all reports and all, even head coach Jay Gruden is the opposite cornerback from Culliver. And this is coming off an Achilles tear.
Yeah, I mean,
why?
No, I mean, obviously, you know, he has the experience. He still has the explosiveness. He has the cover skills. You know, if you play him, put him in certain situations, he's definitely proven a guy that can be big time as far as, you know, trying to put him on your number one receiver. But I don't think he'll have that job of lining up against the number one receiver anymore.
No, that's Culliver.
Chris Culliver's
job. That's Culliver's job. But even that, I wouldn't have D'Angelo Hall going against the two coming up in two Achilles tear or ruptured Achilles over like one span. He had to get surgery like back to back on the same injury. I mean, the same Achilles. I mean, no. I'd rather have Breeland. Well, if Breeland can't play because he can't, I would have Amerson play. I mean, I like Amerson. But you know what it does do? And you mentioned it about the pass rush. It does provide depth. Like a weakness in terms of DBs, it now has become a strength. The Redskins have like a bunch of cornerbacks now that they can actually put out there.
Listen, for the first time in a long time, you actually have a guy in the GM position who actually has a plan, and on top of has a plan, knows what the hell he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So Washington fans should definitely be encouraged. I'm not saying you're going to win six games or seven. Or
yeah, I say 16-0. Oh, wait, that's how I roll.
I definitely wouldn't say that.
We're going 16-0.
I think you should feel comfortable in knowing that you're headed in a upward direction
because you have
16-0? A guy who has a plan.
You don't believe
I'm
in 16-0?
Not saying 16-0.
You don't believe in it? I believe
absolutely
in it.
Not. I mean, you have a tough one 16-0? Against Miami that first week.
Hey, man, that's why we're going to put a show. And we have a great show and speak. And Miami has a – do they? No, they don't have a good cornerback. Do they?
Huh?
Who's Miami's cornerback?
Brent Grimes.
Brent Grimes, he has to see somebody that he's just stated that nobody in the NFL could check. And that's Deshaun Jackson. No Revis Allen. No Sherman. No German. Nobody. Okay. Deshaun said nobody could check him. Is he a number one wide receiver?
I think he's a big play threat. Deshaun Jackson hasn't consistently shown that he could be a guy that gets 100 catches and can do the things that you want a number one wide receiver to do, which is consistently move the chains. Now, don't get me wrong. Deshaun Jackson is one of the few players that he's a threat to score wherever you get him the ball at. But he hasn't shown consistently to be a guy who does the things that when you think of a number one receiver, he does, which is consistently get those 8-7 catches a game, upwards of maybe 10, and really be the guy that even if you roll coverage over to him, that can't be stopped.
You know what? I thought about this, and I was trying to break down what a number one wide receiver is. And to me, a number one wide receiver is a receiver who poses fear on his opposition in terms of cornerback position or his safety. And that's why I had to say he's a number one wide receiver. Because when you see Deshaun Jackson line up against you, you're thinking to yourself, this dude can embarrass me. You know what I mean? That's when I look at it. That's when I know a number one wide receiver. That's when I think of a number one wide receiver. I know, obviously, you want to see 100 catches. And that's fine. That's what I would like to see, too. But at the end of the day, like, does he impose fear?
I'm not – well, yeah. He doesn't have necessarily have 100 catches, but it has to be.
I know you're saying like 80 impactful. Yeah. I know you're saying it can't be like 50 just because you get just because he always gets like 30 yards
with a 20 yard
average. Yeah.
Average. Yeah. That means that you're a playmaker. That means that you get open deep.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you're a number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
A number one wide receiver is no matter if you what you try to do to take me away, they still find a way to get me the ball.
Yeah. When I look at it, I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm thinking about DeSean Jackson. I'm like, yeah. That's just because, like, of Randy Moss.
A guy who's a great route runner. To me, to be honest with you, shoot, I think you can make more of a case that Pierre Garçon is a number one wide receiver.
He wasn't number one last year.
He wasn't number one last year. That's simply, I think, because of decisions by the quarterback and design of the offense.
Yeah, I think that's I think it's more of a design of the offense too. I think they find ways to get him open, but I do think Pierre Garçon from reports, Pierre Garçon will be featured more.
And they should
compared to last season.
They should.
So yeah, but I think DeSean Jackson is the number one wide receiver.
I think he's an ultimate playmaker. I think he's a guy that scores, that plays fair.
All right, this is my thing about DeSean Jackson. It's because he's like kind of soft in a way, in his own little way. I can say it. I don't care. Like, what he's going to do, beat me up? I don't give a fudge. in his own little way, is that he doesn't want to go over the middle. You've seen him alligator. You know, alligator arms. Yeah, you know what I mean? So he can get open because his speed allows him to get open. What I mean by that is he gets a cushion all the time anyway. Because everyone's scared he's going to beat him deep. He can always get open. You know what I mean? It's just that, does he want to go up the middle? And to me, in today's NFL, why would you be scared to go up the middle anyway? In today's NFL, they'll allow you to go up the middle. They're not trying to punish you anyway. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, and a fine.
So to me, he should have more heart to go up the middle anyway.
I just don't see him as a number one ultimate playmaker. Yes, a guy that.
So he's a one trick pony to you.
I don't necessarily, because I don't want to say one trick pony, because a one trick pony insinuates that all he does is run nine routes, run post routes, and takes the top off the defense. No. So I'm not going to say he's a one trick pony. But when I think of a number one wide receiver, I think of Antonio Brown, what that guy does. You put him in the slot.
Oh, he'll
be. Put him on the outside.
I'm starting to give him a lot of credit. Like, I really start putting. He's moving up my wide receiver list.
What you try to do to him, he's going to get you at least six catches.
Yeah, he's moving up my wide receivers list. Like, seriously, he a dog.
Yeah,
he a dog. Seriously.
Jordy Nelson.
He a beast. But I think he's more Aaron Rodgers influenced though. I think he's good though. I don't think he's bad. I think he's Aaron Rodgers influence though. I think he's really. I do think he's good though. He's good. I think he's borderline one ish. Like close, but I like to see him. I would like to see him do that kind of dirt without Aaron Rodgers. Like Aaron Decker. Eric Decker playing for Denver. He looked really good with Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he did.
He doesn't get open like he used to.
No, he doesn't get open.
Yeah.
Today. He didn't have Demaryius Thomas on
that. Hey, that too. That too. Yeah.
But
you know, you think Cobb is the number one for Green Bay? Because Aaron Rodgers, when you play Aaron Rodgers, I'm telling you,
playing with a great quarterback definitely makes
it easy.
Your life easy.
Yeah.
I don't think there's no dispute in that.
Now I think Greg Jennings, when he was healthy, was the number one. When he was because he played well with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. But maybe because I think, you know, he played with two, and he looked good when he played with Flynn, when he had that, you know,
I give you that,
you know what I mean? When he was there, but real quick, I'm trying to speed out this NFL segment. Russell Wilson agreed to a 4-year extension, worth $87.6 million. Is he worth it? I have my own thought about this.
Yeah, he is. Because prior to him being in Seattle, they had that defense, they had that run game, and they weren't getting deep into the playoffs and making a Super Bowl. With Russell Wilson, he's definitely taking your team over the top.
Are you talking about with the other quarterback?
Yeah, Tavares Jackson.
And what's his face? And he played for San Diego, the backup. He went to Clemson. Whitehurst.
Whitehurst. Charlie Whitehurst.
Whitehurst.
So prior to Russell Wilson, you weren't at the level that you were at now. Even though you don't necessarily ask him to do the things that an elite quarterback would do by, you know, putting the team on his back and throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game, I do think he'll ascend to that level. I think that he's on that Ben Roethlisberger trajectory. Anyone who remembers when Big Ben came into the league, had a great running game, a tremendous defense. He won two Super Bowls. One with Bill Bill Cowher, and one with Mike Tomlin. You know, the second one with Mike Tomlin was more on his back. You know, when he was throwing the ball more.
Yeah.
So I think the same thing is going to happen with Russell Wilson. You know, as Marshawn Lynch goes by the wayside, and they start to get him better offensive weapons, I think he'll be able to better carry this team.
I don't think he's worth the money. To me, that defense deserves so much credit for what they do. But he does deserve credit. He's a very good quarterback. I don't look at him as an elite quarterback. Again, I feel like if Russell Wilson played for the Washington Redskins, you wouldn't think of him as anything. You know, but you can't. That's a hypothetical.
I can't agree with that.
You think we'll be a playoff team with Russell Wilson?
Yes, with the weapons you have currently. Yes.
No, I don't think so. I think the defense sucks. I don't think it would be. His pocket presence isn't the best either, for real. But he's a pocket. But he can run like. But he's very elusive, though. He's elusive.
He doesn't have to. One, the first thing is he actually knows how to get down and not take big shots when he's running in an open field.
Don't compare. Don't do that. A lot of quarterbacks do. Just don't compare him to this quarterback. This quarterback's an idiot when it comes to that.
And two, when he needs to make plays from the pocket, he's made those plays from the pocket, i.e. NFC Championship game versus Green Bay that last
throw. You mean the five interceptions he had? The four or five
interceptions? But he still won the game.
Do you know why he won the game? You know why he won the game?
Why?
That great defense. He had a five interception game with the Washington Redskins.
But he still rebounded to throw.
My point is that he has games that he looks bad. It's just that
every
defense.
Quarterback has
but that defense saves him. Like, could you imagine if RG3 threw a five interception game? It'd be over.
Every quarterback has games where they.
You're right. But Seattle's defense is the defense that you don't have to pay for it. That's what I'm talking about. Like that's what makes him look good. If I'm Seattle, for real, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm looking at it like I'm putting all my money on my defense, and I can have a manager, and I'm good with it.
You had managers before.
But not with this defense. This defense is better than it was that year that you're referring to.
Russell Wilson brings that it factor to your team, that leadership.
Hey, we'll see. That guy who,
when you need, can put the game on his shoulders, i.e. the NFC Championship game.
Why are you referring to that game? That game was horrible. Hold on.
Then also the second week of the season against Denver Broncos in overtime.
That game was good.
Where he won the game for.
So I agree with that game.
And then also
you look at his
quarterback. His quarterback
his QBR rating. Or which one? Which one?
I don't do that QBR.
You don't either. I hate that crap because Jaws started that crap and I hate it.
I don't go with that.
Yeah.
That
QBR bull BS. Yes. Yeah.
Look at his quarterback rating. Then look at his touchdown to interception ratio. The guy makes plays. The guy's a talented passer who's getting better. And why not invest in the guy who's going to eventually take over the reins and lead your offense, and he's already the face of your franchise.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that Teddy Bridgewater thing. You know, I'm gonna skip the Sam Bradford thing. I'm gonna say that for the next show. I think I'm gonna do that. Let's talk about Eric Berger real quick. First of all, let me put a bow on this Russell Wilson thing. So obviously I don't really care for him. I'm about to call him Russell Westbrook. Have you seen the dude who's mocking all the NBA shots, like Kobe Bryant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden? He mocks these dudes.
Who?
This NBDL dude mocks all the, like, he mocks Kobe Bryant, Russell Westbrook and James Harden. So he does like the, like how James Harden fakes get fouled. He does it like in a backyard joint and does all these.
Nah, shows. I have to check
Google
out.
It. It's okay. ESPN's put a special on him. TNT has done a special on him too.
I try not to watch the four letter word.
Damn, you like them too? My co-host is the same way. He says the four-letter word, the evil empire.
I ain't going to call him the evil empire, but I try not to watch the four-letter word.
Why? What's
I think, and you know, maybe one day we'll work with ESPN.
Who knows? Who knows, yeah.
I think that they sometimes push their own agenda.
Oh yeah, I know
rather than
about.
Reporting the news That's unbiasedly.
True. That's true.
I think sometimes they try to manufacture the news.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to take away and say that they don't have great programming. Like, I love Pardon the Interruption.
Yeah.
I love, what's the other, you know, some of the 30 for 30 segments.
Mm-hmm.
And when Keith Olbermann was on there, I loved Olbermann.
Mm-hmm.
And I also used to listen to Colin Cowherd sometimes. And I like.
Well, Olbermann had a bad slot. Like, he wasn't going to survive.
Nah,
that slot, Stephen A. Smith is alive.
Yeah, I like sometimes it gets ad nauseum. But First Take, I like His and Hers with Jemele Hill and Michael Smith.
I like me some Jemele Hill.
You like Jemele Hill?
Yeah, I don't know why. Something about her too.
But Sports Center and just some of the reporting on football and basketball, I try to avoid it.
Yeah, I hear you. But speak of real quick, a story I do want to talk about. I think it's a good story. It's a cool story. Eric Berry, Kansas City Chiefs safety, is cleared to return to practice after a battle with lymphoma, a form of cancer.
This is definitely one of the feel-good stories of sports. December of last year, he was diagnosed with lymphoma, I think in the chest area.
Mm-hmm.
And was ruled out for the rest of the season. He's battled back, and he's come and he's healthy enough now to play. Anyone who's familiar with Eric Berry knows that he's one of the better safeties,
definitely.
If not the best safety in the
Second
NFL.
Second best safety.
So congratulations to him, and I'll definitely be rooting for him this season and going forward. And I hope that he maintains his health. And many blessings to him.
I love Eric Berry. He's great. He was when I saw him coming out of Tennessee, I looked at him as being the next Ed Reed, because he just played that. He had that same type of style. To me, he's the second best safety, because I just like Earl Thomas a lot. But I think Eric Berry ain't that far from Earl Thomas. But again, I'm glad he's going to be healthy. This is good news. It's good for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now that makes that defense better, because I believe they missed him down the stretch. So they're going to have Eric Berry back in the lineup. So it's good for them. Definitely good for them. Anyway, it's time for commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking. We came up with a topic, a good
Just
topic.
Have a little bit of fun.
Some fun. It's a good topic, man. Like, which female athlete would you want to date? Take on a date.
Okay.
I said earlier, be Skylar Diggins. I have another one. I have a couple.
I think I have like one or two.
Yeah, one or two.
I'm probably gonna have some of them that overlap.
I know. I'm easy. I'm gonna have probably more than two.
Okay.
Three. You know, I'm a slut. I'm a ninja slut.
Okay.
It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Morning, it's me, Magic Johnson here. I won 5 NBA championships and Olympic gold medal. So I'm calling the shots today. Get up out of bed, into school, try hard, do well. School got me to where I am today. So be there every single day. And of course, give it your best shot.
Ice cold, Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band bought that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch.
All right, we're back with you. Last segment, we're going to put a bow on it tonight. But before that, we got a couple of news for you. Just remember the phone lines are open. Feel free to call us at 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. We also listen to the Urban Sports Scene. We're part of the BDSIR network. All right. Just to put a bow on it, just have a little bit of fun.
It's all about fun.
Yeah, it's all about fun. You know, got kind of serious during the second segment. Not serious.
But it's serious. It's just enlightened.
Yeah, enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
Finish it out with a bang, man.
Yeah, exactly.
If you could date any one female athlete, if you could take them on a date, who would you take them? Where? Who would it be and why?
All right, I would take Skylar Diggins. That's the first I would take. One, because we interviewed her, you know, way back, you know what I mean? And she seems so down to earth. Now, granted, she does have a boyfriend, so that would be an obstacle, you know what I mean? But if I had an opportunity, she was single, I was single, I am single, we would go out, we go out to a date. I think we'd go somewhere like a Dave, like I don't even like going to Dave Buster's, we go to Dave Buster's. We'll play a little basketball thing, have a good time, have some laughs. You know what I mean? Then I may take her to the harbor. You know what I mean? Down the harbor. Take her to the wine bar. Yeah, wine bar.
Romancer.
You know what I mean? Have some fun and romancer. You know what I'm saying? Wine bar, harbor. We walk. We just walk that little strip on the harbor. You know what I'm saying? Look at the water.
Gaze into each other's eyes.
You know what I'm saying? Look at the moon out there. Look at that full moon. Just look at it. Chilling.
You just got it all planned
out.
Okay.
I look in her eye. She look in my eye. I lean over. Give her a nice little peck. Then take her home.
Just take her home, dog.
Just
go from there.
Yeah, take her home.
I have to definitely agree with Skylar Diggins. I would take out Serena Williams.
That was one of mine, too. That was one of mine.
She seems like very down-to-earth, nice woman. She would definitely be paying for the date. I wouldn't make her pay. I wouldn't ask her to pay.
She could afford it.
She definitely could afford it. Those two, I'd probably take out Layla Ali too.
Yeah, somebody had that too, my man.
I'd take out Layla Ali, definitely beautiful woman.
I love me some Layla Ali.
I love Layla Ali. I don't know where I'd take her. Do something fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can talk boxing. We can talk boxing, you know.
Do something fun, man. I think it's played out doing the date in the movie thing. I was gonna say a movie, but something like that to be something special. Nah, I tell my female friends this all the time. If a guy wants to take you to the movies, he doesn't really want to know about you.
I be taking chicks to the movies. Don't be doing that to me.
I'm just telling the truth.
I wanted to see Ted. Now you just call me out.
I'm not calling you out, but realistically, how much conversation are you gonna have during the movie?
I don't like to talk to people during the movie. But if I take you to the movies and I take you out to eat, does that count? Because out to eat, we have to talk. Or is I'm stuffing my face with food kind of different?
Yeah, I'm still stuffing my face.
So where do I have to? But it's just still what? Take you to what? If I take you to a concert, it's the same thing.
No, I'm not taking you to a concert. It's too much distraction. I don't know.
Take you to a library? What, take her to a library?
I like to do fun dates. I don't like to do the traditional dates.
Explain.
No, I like to go out. Like, maybe go hiking.
Go biking. That's what's up. That's cool.
Indoor rock climbing, something like that. Something cool like that.
Yeah.
Go for a walk.
The walk is cool.
Go get something to eat or something like that afterwards. Yeah. I don't know. I don't like to do the traditional movie and dinner thing. That stuff is played out.
Oh my god! You good, right?
I like to do something different.
I feel. Anyway, on the pose the same question about, you know, what female celebrity, what female athlete, would, you know, some of the folks want to take out. My man Kenneth said, My man Troy said, Skylar Diggins. Do I really have to explain why? Of course not. It's Skylar Diggins. My boy Kenneth said, Layla Ali, Misty Copeland. Do you know Misty Copeland?
Isn't she like
she's a
MMA fighter?
Ah, don't know. I gotta look her. Somebody Google her. He said any U.S. women's track athlete. They are some bad track athletes.
They are.
There's some bad, like, to me, volleyball chicks are bad.
Track and volleyball.
Yes. Like, My man, DeJuan, Daywan said, do IG fitness chicks count as athletes? Instagram. Nah, man, they don't. They don't.
And some people they do.
Hey, they bad. They got some good IG.
That's who it is. Valerina Misty Copeland.
Hey, how she look?
Oh, you never seen a picture of Misty Copeland?
Nah.
Yeah, ballerina.
She bad?
Yeah, very. She's the first principal African American ballerina in the United States, in the U.S. ballerina something. She's a very attractive young lady.
Oh, wow. Oh, we actually got a tweet about it to respond back. My man AJ on Twitter said, Sydney LaRoe.
I don't know who that
is. Oh, I checked her out. Google her. Oh, yeah.
Who is she?
I want to say she plays, that she plays, what's her name? I want to say she plays, like a volleyball picture. It was volleyball. I swear it was volleyball. I checked out earlier. And my man Patrick Warren said also Skylar Diggins. Total package. You know what I mean?
I can't be mad.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I like, see, you know what? I won't lie. I can see myself taking out Ronda Rousey for some strange reason.
I don't get people's fixation with Ronda Rousey.
I don't know. I got it. I don't know why I got it.
I
saw Conan O'Brien. I just like, yeah, I can get it.
I don't get it.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either. You can have her. Not to say that she, you know, she just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of another one. I'm trying to think. I had another one in my mind too. You said you took Serena Williams from me.
Yeah,
I take Serena Williams out too. I would take out Sharapova. I would. She want a body though.
Yeah. Gotta have some curves.
You got some curves, I know. I'm trying to. I think that's pretty much it. Skylar Diggins though. I think that's
Skylar Diggins is number one.
She's number one. Layla Ali is my second though. She's definitely my second. She is something else. Layla Ali is something else. She all the way sexy. There ain't nobody, like, she all the way sexy. There ain't that many people better looking than Leila Ali. Damn, I'm trying to think. You really though? Like, really though? A movie date is bad?
Who?
A movie date is bad?
I'm just saying if you don't, I'm not saying it's not something you do to get to know a person. Like, how much talking can you do during a movie?
But see, the movie part is not, it's for my entertainment, right?
But because that's what I like comedy. For entertainment.
Bro. Yeah, but so I'm taking you out to eat. That's when I get to know you. Cause then you get the full out blast of Waliola. Period. Like you get the ha ha. You're so funny. Ha ha ha. Because by that time I'm drinking alcohol and she drinking alcohol. You know, not to say I need alcohol to be funny because I'm already cool. But you know, by that time it's all love. Ha ha ha. He he he. Whatever. You know what I mean? That's the part of the conversation that gets kind of thorough. The movie is all about the entertainment aspect. Yeah, dinner is the get to know
like,
you.
I don't like talking to people while I'm watching a movie.
Who wants to talk to you? I don't talk. I just laugh. I look and laugh.
Yeah, I mean, like, but you know, that's one of those things.
But when you rock climb, you want to talk to them. If I'm rock climbing, I'm trying to make sure I don't hit the ground.
Indoor rock climbing, bro. You ever done it before?
No.
It's fun.
I don't do stuff like that. I'm not an outdoorsy person, though.
Nah, it's indoor rock climbing. So you go to like one of those indoor facilities.
Like in Rockville? That's one like Rockville,
though. Yeah, like with those walls that you know that you climb up. Yeah, I'm scared of heights. It's fun.
I'm scared of heights.
Oh, okay.
And just, you know, I ain't flying a plane forever.
What about Lolo Jones?
Yes. Yes. You mean the virgin? Is she still a virgin?
I guess so.
Yeah, I would.
There's another. Brittany Griner?
No, that's mean. That is so mean. Yeah, why are you so mean? Oh, I know. I want Bella. What's her? Bella Don from the chick from Delaware who played Delaware State.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she. Yeah, I take her out. She tall too. She helped me create LeBron James. It'd be a mixed LeBron James though.
can't think of no one else.
Candace Parker.
Candace Parker.
She still plays sports.
I still think that she does. I still think that she's still in the WNBA.
Then that's one. Candace Parker all the way. She will always be one of my favorites. All time chicks. Chicks of all time.
Chicks of all time.
Of athletic chicks of all time. I always liked Nikki McCray when she was here. I thought she was bad to me. Nikki McCray was bad to me. You all right? You got one?
No, I'm just looking. I'm just trying to find.
Another one?
Yeah, another one.
Yeah. Because I don't watch volleyball. I guess if I watched something like volleyball, I would have like a bunch of them.
I could tell you a set of twins, though.
The Jones Gonzalez from Kansas?
Twins.
They're from Kansas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gonzalez. I seen them.
I think they're going to UNLV.
That's UNLV, that's where they're going now? Oh, yeah, my
the
God.
The Gonzalez Twins.
Look. I've seen them.
Yes.
Yes. Again, you call me R. Kelly on that one, son. I've seen them. You know what I mean? I've seen them.
But back to the movie thing.
Let's go back.
Yeah, so... I mean, like, that's...
It's good. No, I don't do movie dates often, but every once in a while, like, for, like, a... And I'm trying to, like... You're right, the movies are expensive. That's the problem. I kind of stay away from them. Because movies are expensive.
Yeah.
Because you're already dropping... Because you got to think about it. Let's be real. The movie date. You're dropping, like, nowadays on this side of town. Like, it's going to evening, right? It's not going to be a matinee. It's an evening. It's going to be an evening thing. So, you're dropping a problem. You're dropping... Shoot. How many tickets
24
are
like? $24 for two tickets.
Yeah. $12, yeah, two tickets, right? Then you gotta take them out. Then you gotta take them out to eat. So then you, sometimes you want a popcorn experience. There's times I want a popcorn experience. I'm not gonna lie to you, but then I gotta hold back because I know I'm taking you out to eat, so I can't get any popcorn.
Nah, I'm gonna bring my own snacks to the movie, type brother.
My man. Hey, look. I don't discriminate. Do not discriminate. You know, I'm just saying. For me, I don't do that. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna take you out to eat too. Then I'm like, damn, I didn't drop 24 already on my gas already. Now we gotta go out to eat. That's like what? Add that to the count. Out to eat, average wise, and I'm not even saying like whatever, like 80, if you average it out plus the tip. Cause you
that's
know,
including your drinks too.
Yeah, including my drinks. Not okay. Without the drinks though. Without the drinks, no, it's okay. Gonna be cheaper. There's days I'd be like, give me water. You know what I mean?
No, but I mean alcoholic beverage.
I don't know. There's days I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
There's days like to be cheap, give me water.
Okay.
And let just be the meal be its place. But nah, seriously, that's like 80 with alcohol. God forbid I want to do like an iPick thing. Jesus, I'm broke.
iPick.
The iPick the drink on Bethesda. You know they sell alcohol there too.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Oh.
I keep it in the hood, baby. I go to the matinees. You know when I go to the movies? I go to the movies Saturday or Sunday before 10 o'clock.
You're right.
You know why?
Because it's cheap.
It's $5, $6 with tax.
And that's a shame that's cheap. You know why it's a shame that it's cheap? When I was a kid, it was like $3. The movie should be $3.
Yeah, man. I'm a Magic Johnson brother.
No. I haven't been to iPick.
I do go to a certain movie theaters when I want to go far away.
Yeah.
Like, when I want to go to a really nice movie theater, mm-hmm. I won't say it on air because
yeah.
You know I don't want ninjas going out
there. I hear you on that, bro.
It's pretty far anyway, so
they probably wouldn't do it as far. They won't go.
I keep my dollars in the hood. Magic Johnson, baby. $6.
Have you ever been to the one in Laurel? The new one in Laurel?
The new movie theater?
In Laurel, uh-huh.
With the recliner seat.
Yeah, you been there?
Yeah,
I hate this reserve thing.
Nah, I haven't been
Look,
there yet.
Look, I hate this reserve thing. The one in Beltsville, you have reserve too now.
Yeah.
What is going on with this reserve crap?
I know a couple people have gone. There's one in Springfield also where you get to reserve your movie,
mm-hmm.
your seats. And I don't really do all of that because I go to the movies Saturday or Sundays at 10 a.m. in the morning when no one is there.
All right, that's $6. I'm accustomed to doing that myself, though. See, I go to Beltway, but I don't give a fudge about these people. I go to Beltway Plaza,
mm-hmm.
and I went to see Avengers. It was just me and this dude in the wheelchair chilling, watching.
Okay, some point. I went to go see Ant-Man. I was supposedly working from home. I wanted to go see Ant-Man at 10 o'clock. What's wrong with it?
Nothing wrong with it at all.
It was $6.
I'm down with that, man. I'm dead serious. Like,
NWA comes out.
Oh, dude. 14. I'm seeing that thing.
I'm going to go see it at 10 o'clock in the morning. There's no shame in my game.
I don't know when I'm going to see it, but I'm seeing it. It's either, see, I thought about this. Like, do I want to take somebody to see it? Well, that's want to see by my. I think it's a movie I want to see by myself, though. I want to enjoy. I want to enjoy
all
it.
Movies I want to see by myself because I'm not talking to anyone while the movie is on. I'm sorry.
Oh,
all you know, the people I take to the movies. What? I take two people.
Your son,
my kids.
Your kids. I thought
I
so.
I take my kids to the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
And even then, I'd be like, "Won't y'all be quiet? I'm trying to watch the movie." And then you know what? Well, I say a couple of things to them. Then I'd be like, "The movie's on." We can talk when the movie's over.
Oh, no, you know man. I mean?
So,
look,
you know.
I know for me.
It is what it is.
Like, there's a movie I would definitely want to see. Like, The Avengers was one, and I was like, man, I can't see this with nobody. Like, I gotta enjoy this movie myself. That's why I go on times where I feel like kids are in school, or I can just go and chill. Cause I don't want no teenagers talking when I'm watching my movie. I just want to chill.
The next movie that I'll go full geek squad out to go see is Star Wars. That comes out Christmas Day.
Yeah.
No one's gonna be in the movie theater Christmas Day.
I want to see that thing too.
I'm going to wake up early in the morning and I'm going to go see Star Wars.
Yeah, NWA is like the one for me now. Yeah, I want to see Star Wars though.
Is coming? Hunger Games comes out.
Yeah, I'm behind. I didn't see the first one, so I'm like, I'm behind.
For me,
I want to see the movie with Amy Schumer.
Oh, Trainwreck?
Yeah, I want to see that thing.
I'll catch that when it's on Redbox. For me, I've never gone to see any of the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I haven't.
I
haven't. And the theater's not a theater.
Furious 7 comes out on DVD,
mm-hmm.
I'll watch it at home. It just is what it is, man. Like, the price of movies is...
Yeah, that's the thing. The price of movies, it makes you not want to have a movie date, to be real. It doesn't matter. Yeah, for me.
I want to sit in peace and quiet and watch the movie.
Your date's going to talk your hole in your head or something?
I just had a couple bad experiences going to the movies. I just had a couple bad date experiences going to the movie. You know what I mean? But to me, that's one of those situations where you can look at me different because I'm going to be like, are you really talking to me now? I'm trying to watch the movie. That's just me.
No, man. No one knocking you, man. This is
watch DVDs in the confines of my home by myself.
Oh, I love watching DVDs. You can't tell me nothing.
So I can get the storyline, get the plot and everything. And I like movies that really make you think anyway, that you got to really follow.
You know what? There's only one movie that, you know, couples should see. Only one kind of movie anyway.
What?
Let's watch a porno together and y'all good to go.
Yeah. Or make one.
Or make a porno. Yeah. Be fine. Set up a camera, make a porno. You good. And you can watch that over and over again with your spouse.
Yeah.
Here you go. See, we didn't solve the world's problem.
We absolutely have.
There we go. It's almost time to like wrap this show up. It is about time to wrap this show up.
Put a bow on it.
Yeah, we'll put a bow on it. Thank you all for listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We really appreciate it. Again, if you want to view, or if you want to listen to any of our podcasts, just search the Urban Sports Scene on iTunes. And also, if you want to listen to us on our official Urban Sports Scene website, the website is www.walio.podbean.com. Will, do you want to wrap this up with any special saying or anything?
Nah, man. Just in the words of my man Future, God bless the Trap Ninjas.
So you really had to quote Future.
Yes,
this is
like,
this is just so jacked up.
I think that's going to be the music we go out to next week. I'm going to get it for you.
I'm going to go out.
God bless the Trap Ninjas.
Hey, on that note, hey, Mega, lead us out, homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.